early on, but lots of storylines already in the major leagues of baseball. We do want to talk a little bit about something that I don't know if it's going to be just come commonplace now, if there's the stories about it in baseball, how to try to lessen it. But Gabe Locke from USA Today joins us. Gabe, how you doing?
Good. How you doing today?
Good, Gabe. I want to talk about Tommy John surgery because, of course, I think I read a stat that 40 to 50% of pitchers now have gone through it, and they can all come back and they pitch well, but is there anything, has been any studies in baseball so they can try to lessen this injury?
Well, there's certain things you can do, certainly preventative measures, exercises. You'll see guys doing stuff with armbands and the like and playing long toss, and there's a certain feeling you can minimize the risk. But the bottom line is, you know, the ulnar collateral ligament's very, very, I guess you could say, vulnerable. And you know, there's only so much you can do, you might say. And it could go quite literally on almost any pitch.
Yeah, it is crazy. I actually read a book on studies that if you want your son to be a Major League Baseball pitcher, they need to have pitched regularly before the age of 12, something about their ulna and how it develops.
Yeah, there's certainly some theories in mind. I don't think there's enough data yet to really say do this or don't do this. You know, I mean, there's certain...
I think we might have lost Gabe there. Did we lose him, Storms? I think we did. So we'll try to get him back. I do want to talk about I want to talk about that Atlanta-Milwaukee series for a variety of reasons. A, great pitching duel early on, and Gabe's back with us. Gabe, the game today, Atlanta-Milwaukee, early on in the season, and we've seen it last year when you look at no-hitters and perfect games, a lot of them come earlier in the season when, I don't know, if guys are just getting into the regular form of things from a batting perspective, but the pitchers seem to have an advantage early on when it comes to no-hitters and perfect games. And today we had a stellar pitching duel between Atlanta and Milwaukee. Didn't result in no-hitters, but resulted in two very good pitching performances, only 5 combined hits in the game.
Right, and they definitely do have an advantage early on. The weather's colder. I think the big thing, too, is everybody's getting ramped up in spring training. The one difference is, you know, pitchers certainly – are, number one, they're not showing their full repertoire, and number two, it's really truly a time to either work on things or just get their pitch counts up, and they're not going to throw a lot of what you might call, you know, sort of high leverage pitches when you get into a certain point of the count. I think suddenly you switch the light on in the regular season, and suddenly you have a pitcher who's actively trying to finish you off, you know, when you get 2 strikes on them. So that, I think that's one big difference as you kind of get in. And it does take probably a good month for the hitters to fully get up to speed. And coincidentally, that's around the time the weather starts warming up too.
Gabe Locke joins us from USA Today. Gabe, what does it say about baseball when Ryan Braun, proven not only a cheater, but a proven liar who, you know, accused people, which was the worst part of it. I'm not into the cheating. I'm like, whatever. Guys do it all the time. But the fact that he was blatantly lied, you know, falsely accused people of stuff, yet he gets a standing ovation from the fans. Is the message to baseball players like, we don't care what you do. You're our heroes. We'll cheer for you regardless?
That's kind of always been the case with the hometown crowd thing. I mean, you see Pete Rose still getting cheered in Cincinnati. I don't know if that would happen elsewhere. Barry Bonds for years was, certainly welcomed and still is in San Francisco. If you're a guy that a lot of people just admire and have a vested interest in, I don't think that's going to go away regardless of whether the so-called crime is performance-enhancing drugs or gambling or whatnot, you know, and Ryan has sort of done and said the right things this winter, sort of his contrition tour around the Milwaukee area. And, the early return is that, yeah, so far that's going to be enough for him to kind of earn back those good graces.
Gabe, very early on, I always ask guys early on, who's their surprise team? Who's your surprise team this year that you think has a breakout season that a lot of people don't?
You know, it's funny. There's so much parity in the game right now. That the notion of a surprise team is a little bit diminished just because Everybody's pretty good. It's kind of weird. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of teams really do have a chance, and a lot of teams that you consider to be surprise teams have already kind of shown their hand to be pretty decent, and specifically I'm referring to, you know, Cleveland, which won a wild card last year, Kansas City, which won 86 games, you know, so you kind of look at it that way. There's not a whole lot to emerge from the woodwork simply because, you know, everybody's kind of been certainly moving along pretty well. Now, there's certain teams I think you can count out of it, such as the Marlins and the Astros and the Cubs and the Rockies. But one team that I do think has an interesting kind of ability to maybe surprise is the San Diego Padres. Certainly they're in a pretty balanced and tough division. They're built well for the division because they're pitching-centric, and they kind of are pretty good at grinding out games. You know, they did that against the Dodgers on Sunday. They took them down to the last strike last night. They had Kenley Jansen on the ropes with the bases loaded and almost ended up taking the first two games from them. And I think you'll definitely see a bit of a surprise out of the Padres. Will it be enough to go 162 games with the Dodgers? That's questionable. But don't be surprised if they stick around a little while longer than you think.
Do you think the Dodgers live up to their payroll?
Ah, man, probably. I mean, it's funny. They, you know, somebody goes down, another guy's right there to step in. I mean, they're so deep. And, you know, I think if there's one team that can withstand Kershaw being out for a month, it's these guys. Same thing with Brian Wilson. He's going to be on the DL for a bit. They still have a pretty good bullpen and just a lot of depth and a lot of firepower. They're not going to be a super team by any stretch of the imagination, but I think you can certainly kind of mark them down for somewhere between 90 and 95 wins, which should be enough to get it done. And that's really all that matters. You know, win your division, get in the playoffs, and then, you know, assuming good health, there's Kershaw and Greinke waiting for you.
Give me your thoughts on Adrian Beltre, who has an opportunity this season to join a very elite group that includes Lou Gehrig and Roger Hornsby, Stan Musial, Hank Aaron, Mel Ott, Alex Rodriguez, guys who, you know, at the age of 35, had at least 2,600 hits, 1,400 RBIs, 950 extra base hits. Is Beltre a player that doesn't get a lot of respect for kind of his overall consistency in your mind?
Absolutely. And I think he's a guy that's going to end up being a Hall of Famer. He's kind of on that path right now. He had a few lost years there in Seattle where the ballpark kind of ate him up and he had some health problems. And that certainly contributed a bit to what were a few down years. But you look at what he did in Boston, what he did with the Dodgers, and what he's doing in Texas. I definitely think, you'll see a guy start to get his due a little more because he's a couple years away from really looking up at a body of work and going, wow, this guy is a phenomenal player. So, yeah, I think you're right on board with that. But that's a guy who hasn't quite gotten his due, but I think he will going forward with a couple more years like he's put up recently.
It's incredibly early, but the Florida Marlins, Steve Cishek, I think he's now has 30 consecutive save opportunities, and he's saved them all dating back to last June. And then the Marlins, I was reading, came only the seventh team in Major League Baseball history to win their first two games with pitchers under the age of 25 as the two starters in Fernandez and then Eovaldi. Any chance Florida has one of their runs where they're a bottom team and then suddenly they go all the way to a playoffs? Do you think that team has any chance?
Some folks are kind of high on them. I'm not sure, the extent to which they have any staying power. I mean, the Rockies are not real good. They're certainly on my list of teams that I think will be pretty disappointing. So, definitely wouldn't go extrapolate too far beyond these two games. But, there's some interesting things happening there, and there's some pretty good young pitchers in the pipeline that we've yet to see yet, and a left fielder in Christian Yelich who could really give them another bat. I think they're just a little too thin up and down the lineup, but, they could certainly be a team that will certainly be a thorn in the side of the Nationals and Braves, particularly since only one of those teams will win the division, and the other one will certainly be battling for a wild card spot with a lot of other really worthy wild card candidates from the Central and the West.
Gabe Locke from USA Today joins us, talking a little baseball. It is springtime. We're trying to get into the spring mode here in Edmonton. Hopefully the snow is gone by next week. Gabe, give me your thoughts quickly on the Toronto Blue Jays. When you look at that lineup, I know it's pretty much the same as last year. Are they a massive risk team due to their starting pitching, or do you think that maybe they'll be better than people are expecting?
Yeah, it's you're talking about a team that didn't do too much to improve, but certainly, if health comes along, you could see some pretty decent games. And obviously, Reyes going down is really discouraging from that standpoint. If it's just 2 weeks, okay, great. But, those hamstrings are tough. The big encouraging thing, obviously, Drew Hutchison. A lot of people are high on him and think that, he's talk about Tommy John, and yeah, he's back from that. That's really really pretty encouraging. I mean, there's some found money to be had there if their pitching can stay healthy, if R.A. Dickey can rebound in some form or another. So it's just that division is so tough. You're talking about four really solid teams that'll be really tough to battle there. But gosh, will they be better than last year? It's possible. They should be. Now, whether they do or not, a lot of X factors there and a lot of tough competition they're dealing with. So, I wouldn't be too excited about the Jays, but there's certainly, certainly some improvement to be had. We'll see if it pans out.
Gabe, always appreciate your time. Have a great day.
You got it. Appreciate it, man.